From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people, this is the Maggie Dawn Show.
We as Republicans, as Democrats, as independents, as liberals and conservatives,
get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
If it was bad before today, I cannot believe how much worse it has gotten.
If we don't band together and protest, our democracy will be gone.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
And I'm freaked the frickin' frack out.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth, here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Happy hump day. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We've got a fine program lined up for everybody today. At the bottom of this hour, as we do most Wednesdays, we've got a segment that we like to call Broad Appeal. We highlight female candidates and elected officials who have broad appeal and who are broads. And I mean that in a deeply respectful sense of the term. They're going to be joining us again, bottom of this hour. We've got Senator Kristen Dassler-Alfheim and as well as Dr. Kristen Lierley. Really looking forward to that conversation. And if we can make it work this afternoon, I will also be joined by my colleague in broadcasting, Greg Gunderson, for a little bit of what's going on in your neck of the woods, or as it typically is these days, me and Greg talking about, oh my goodness, what fresh hell is this? What is happening today, which seems to be a theme nearly every single day. Today being no exception, I do have to start with a bit of sports news. After 11 grueling innings, the Brewers drop this massive extra inning outing to the Baltimore Orioles, 8-4 after tying it up in the ninth. So kind of a bummer. You know, got to keep my eye on the sports news, too, as the world is literally being lit on fire, seemingly every day in new and distressing ways. I've got a lot to talk with you about this afternoon, and certainly we'll get to the story of the intentionality of our billionaire overlord, Elon Musk, the purposefulness with which Elon Musk and Russell Vogt, who is this guy operating in the White House that not so many people know his name, he runs the Office of Management and Budget. The intentionality, the deliberateness with which they are actually desiring and are causing real trauma to federal workers. It's not about fraud, waste, and abuse. We all agree everything should be done to curb that in every government department. No, their entire purpose has always been to traumatize federal workers and to blow government up, not to make it work better for middle-class families, not to make it more efficient, not to be better stewards of your taxpayer dollars. No, it's to traumatize federal workers. And we have the recording that proves it. I'm going to talk about that. Incredible reporting from the Washington Post, sharing the stories of a number of federal workers, one who took her life after being fired, another who's on again, off again, and threats to the job. Maybe I have a job, maybe I don't. And the incredible increase in workload literally led a woman to drop dead on the job from a heart attack. This isn't just about a guy in a stupid hat with billions of dollars and a chainsaw acting the fool over and over and over again. This is costing people's lives, both directly when we talk about federal employees and what can be only termed as some of the most draconian cuts to emergency food assistance and Medicaid in our country's history. To do what? To blow the deficit up even more and to give handouts to billionaires and 100 millionaires and mega corporations that they don't need. That is what has been going on all night. We talked earlier this week about the fact that Speaker Mike Johnson and the chairman of the House Rules Committee scheduled a middle-of-the-night debate at 1 a.m. to keep people from knowing what the heck is in this bill. They refused to debate it. They refused to engage in any sort of meaningful discussion so that they can hide the truth from you. Because if they had to face facts about what is in this big, brutal bill, it would be that many Americans will die, go hungry, lose their insurance, go bankrupt, small businesses will go under. And again, for what purpose? Yeah, so that Elon Musk has more money, so that George Soros has more money, Jeff Bezos, and all of the corporate oligarchs that jerk our chains every day. That's what we're talking about. I'm going to get to that. We've got a ton of sound that we want to share with you because it is truly, truly shocking. But I want to take care of some business from yesterday. And it does bridge over to today's discussion about the big, brutal bill that Donald Trump wants to basically stick the knife into the back of all of his supporters. Stick the knife into the back of the middle class and the working poor. Here's some of the cleanup from yesterday, and you're going to see the bridge to the discussion today. Republicans, in my opinion, have lost the ability to speak plainly and to tell the truth. They fumble all over themselves in congressional hearing after congressional hearing because they have to make sure that they do not offend the thin-skinned infant-in-chief that happens to be sitting in the White House. And to do that, they tie themselves into all sorts of verbal, they engage in all kinds of verbal gymnastics. Now, Jacob, I'm going to ask you if you can cue up this Rubio sound about Vladimir Putin. Give me a thumbs up when we're ready to roll that, if you will, sir. Because Marco Rubio, who used to be, by every account, a foreign policy hawk, who was very aggressive vis-a-vis Vladimir Putin, has turned into a mealy-mouth, unrecognizable shell of a version of himself. Let's take a listen. This is Marco Rubio. Can't even say that Vladimir Putin is a war criminal. Can't even, you know, call a spade here. This used to not be hard for Marco Rubio. Let's take a listen.
Vladimir Putin. Is he a war criminal?
Well, I think you can look at instances that have happened there and certainly characterize them as war crimes, but our intent is to end the war.
Is he a war criminal?
We can't end the war without talking to Mr.
Putin.
No,
that's pretty simple. Is he a war criminal?
Well, that's
this man we're negotiating with, Vladimir Putin. Is he a war criminal? That's not tough.
But what? I'm trying to answer your question by telling you that we're trying
simple
to end the
answer.
War here.
Go ahead.
No,
you're
it's
equivocating.
Not a simple answer.
You are equivocating, sir. Just answer the question.
I'm answering your question, and the answer is that war crimes have been committed, no doubt. And who is responsible for that? There will be time and place for that accountability. But right now, the job is to end
so
the war.
So you won't answer the question.
If we don't end the war, people are going to get
reclaiming
killed.
My time, sir. Let me go on.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Marco Rubio, how do you sleep at night, sir? So that's a little follow-on from our in-depth discussion yesterday about Donald Trump's failure to see the world clearly as it is, with all of its complex history, all of the nuance, and his corresponding failure to have any reasonable degree of common sense suspicion about what Vladimir Putin tells him. Thanks again much to Lowell Barrington, professor of political science at Marquette University. Again, following up from yesterday and additional news about this airplane that the Trump administration put into the air, apparently not providing the appropriate due process, apparently violating a clear court order. This was this group of 10 to 12 men, we're not exactly sure, being sent to South Sudan, an area that is one of the most violent in the world, with pretty consistent unrest, tipping on the edge of yet another brutal civil war. The Trump administration says information about the men that they sent to South Sudan is, of course, too secret to disclose in open court, though DHS posted the names and photos of eight of them in a thread on the Twitter. That's fine, but they can't talk about it with a federal judge. Weird. Only one of the men is actually from South Sudan. And the judge that is involved in this particular case said this of the flight to South Sudan, quote, "The department's actions in this case are unquestionably violative of this court's order," end quote. Are we at the point of a constitutional crisis? Join me this afternoon. We're going to have a lengthy discussion about a whole wide range of things. But there is one through line, whether we're talking about foreign policy or maybe two through lines, whether we're talking about foreign policy or this domestic big brutal bill that is a handout to 100 millionaires and mega corporations. Republicans hide from the truth, and when confronted with the truth, they cannot and will not simply state it. Those are the through lines this afternoon. And I suggest to you, ladies and gentlemen of this jury, of the public opinion jury, that there is no getting around those facts. And all the lying and all the obfuscating and all the spinning that is being done out of the MAGAverse right now, out of the MAGA regime, cannot belie the simple facts that foreign policy in the United States is in a crisis, our intelligence apparatus is in a crisis, and our domestic agenda is being hijacked by the MAGA regime, by Donald Trump and his billionaire oligarch buddies, to basically acquire more wealth and power by screwing the middle class yet again. Here is the other bit of news from today. And in all of this, everywhere you look, there will be a lack of transparency when confronted with clear truths. Republicans will hide from it. They will tongue-tie themselves, and they will lie about it. Again, a lack of transparency in these same mass deportation regimes. Here again, the Trump administration filed a motion this very morning to keep information related to the Kilmar Abrego Garcia case under wraps, saying the press shouldn't be allowed to, quote, pry into highly sensitive matters. But the president should be able to keep the super secret spy documents after he's not president anymore in his gilded golden bathroom. That's, of course, perfectly fine. And additionally, this is the third piece of transparency-specific kind of wonky news that I'm sharing with you. The Trump administration asked the Supreme Court today to halt discovery. This is just the exchange of information and documents, the interviewing of witnesses and depositions, which are sworn under oath. The Trump administration, oh yes, going to the Supreme Court today to halt discovery in the DOJ Freedom of Information Act case, including the deposition of DOJ Administrator Amy Gleason. So I want to get this straight. As the Trump administration violates court order after court order, depriving people of both habeas corpus and due process rights, as they're engaging in all of this, as they're engaging in intentional traumatization of federal workers to gut government programs and now gut it even more and the big brutal bill. What they don't want to do is actually talk about any of this in courtrooms or in congressional hearings. Am I getting this straight? Wow. We're going to continue this discussion. We're going to turn to the House Rules Committee debate that began. I'm going to call it a debate with air quotes. Democrats are talking about what's in the big brutal bill. Republicans aren't. Not to be held accountable, the MAGA regime. Keep it locked. My name's Maggie Dawn. You are listening to this Hump Day show of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be back in just a moment. Keep it locked.